For the love of God is this, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not burdensome, for whoever is begotten by God conquers the world. And the victory that conquers the world is our faith. Who indeed is the victor over the world, but the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Friends, the victory has been won. We're on the winning side. But sadly, we don't act like it. At least I don't. So often, I act not as a victor over the world, but as its slave. What enslaves me to the world? Very often it's fear. It's the exact same thing that trapped the apostles in that upper room. It was why? For fear of those who might come to persecute them. It's the same for us. We all have these fears that we face. We don't want to be too countercultural because, you know, that one very vocal family member is going to go after us, call us a hypocrite because they knew us way back when. Or friends, co-workers. If we try to really live by what our Lord teaches us through his bride, the church, if we really try to uphold all of her moral teachings in the way that we live our family life, in the way that we spend the money that we have, in the way that we treat those who need our help, in the way that we will not disparage people the way that the world does, yeah, we're scared of the persecution that may come. We're scared of being looked at funny. And yet, the readings proclaim so clearly, we're victors over this world. It's already been conquered. The mentality that this world gives of just go for comfort, path of least resistance, if you have to kind of push someone to the side to get to where you need to go, go for it. That mentality's been conquered by our Lord already. And yet so often we buy into it again. So today is our reminder. Today is God calling us to live the dignity of those who have conquered the world. To choose another path than the mentality of this world, and instead to adopt the logic of selfless love that is Jesus Christ and his divine mercy. Right, those rays of love and mercy coming from his heart, they should change us to become more merciful ourselves, to adopt a different way of living, living as true victors over this world. Because this world, it doesn't forgive. Right? People sometimes forgive. God is always willing to forgive. Nature never forgives. And the world kind of takes that third route too. You mess up once. You go against the main cultural narrative right now, and sorry, but your name is dirt forever. Our Lord's different. He's the one who's got the actual dirt on us. And yet he washes it in his mercy. He says, if you repent, you're clean. I not only forgive, I'm willing to forget. He's willing to make us new. Do we adopt that same mentality with each other? To be able to forgive and then try our hardest to even forget, or at least to forget the resentment that we feel toward the people that have hurt us. Because the great marvel of divine mercy is not just that we get forgiven. It's not just that we receive that mercy, but that in receiving it, we're changed into more merciful people. We get to live as true victors over this world, as those who in Christ Jesus recognize they were made not for a span of decades on this big blue ball, but for an eternity. And we live accordingly. But we might still say, well, what does it look like to have that selfless love, to be that image of divine mercy? Well, thankfully, our Lord in this Catholic family of which we are a part has given us brothers and sisters to look up to. One such family is the Ulma family. Has anybody here ever heard of them? No, why would you? They're just an obscure family from southeast Poland. In fact, it's my family, right? Victoria Ulma was born Victoria Niemczak before she married Józef Ulma. They were married in 1935 in a small town in southeast Poland. Today, their cause is open for beatification, so they're looking into whether we will be calling this whole family saints in heaven someday. How do they get to that point? They accepted divine mercy in their own lives and then extended it to those that they could help. Because Victoria and Józef, they were married and they just started welcoming kids like crazy, right? Within those next 8 years, they had 6 children and their 7th on the way. But the remarkable thing, well, that's remarkable in and of itself, right? But they had been so open to God's gift of life. They had been willing to work with His will with such a splendid generosity in their hearts that then, when around them, an evil force was completely trampling over the sanctity of life, they were willing to stand up for those who were in harm's way. And so in 1942, this family that was already growing, already overwhelmed, welcomed in 8 Jewish people and hid them for 2 years so that those Nazis that had come and occupied Poland were not able to take them to a death camp. They had trained themselves to protect life by being open to life themselves. They had this awareness that every single life was a precious gift of God and not just a burden to be avoided. And so they ended up sheltering these 8 lives. For 2 years, the whole family had to be involved. That's why the whole family is up for beatification. They had to work together to save these lives. And for 2 years, they were able to do it. But then they ended up getting ratted out. Right? Somebody within the town noticed that something was up there. So the Nazis came. They ended up killing all 8 of the Jews that they were hiding. Then they killed Victoria and Józef, and then they killed every single one of the children, including the unborn child in Victoria's womb. But what we celebrate, the reason why we still tell this story, is because that was their moment of victory, not their moment of defeat. Because in Christ Jesus, in His divine mercy, in His resurrection, they now reign in heaven. They show us that this world, even at its ugliest, doesn't win. They're the victors over this world. And how did they gain this victory? It was as simple as following the commandments of God, living their Catholic faith in the ordinary, in the normal daily struggle of being a family, in that love for each other that then was able to extend a love for the stranger, love for the neighbor. And ended up being this heroic act of self-sacrifice. Friends, we're called to nothing less than that. Because even though we're in a different context, thanks be to God, we don't live in that exact same kind of a situation. We all have very real fears that we face. Do we face them as those who recognize that by the grace of God, they are victors over this world? Or do we cower in fear of this world's judgment? Do we, with great courage, follow the commandments of God, the teachings of the church, saying, I know this is going to be difficult, but it's not going to be more difficult than God is strong. I will be able to do it because God's grace is always there for me. How do we get strengthened in that way to be able to do it? Well, here we go back to the gospel. Because if you recall, that same fear that we feel, that fear that the Ulma family must have felt every single day of those 2 years was the fear that the apostles felt as well. Fear of persecution, fear of the world, but it was conquered by what? By an encounter with the risen Lord. That's what we pray for ourselves. That we at this Mass may encounter Him. That we during this Easter season may encounter Him. And that we may get that which He gives, which was peace. Those were His first words to the apostles after they abandoned Him. After they ran and scattered in multiple directions at His moment of greatest need, He said, peace. He didn't say, you were wrong. He didn't say, how dare you? He said, peace be with you. Even as he showed them the scars on his hands, the fruits of their cowardice, what happened because they betrayed him and abandoned him, and he, instead of throwing that in their faces, said, peace is what I give you. Peace between me and you, because I am not like the world. I forgive, I forget, and I make new. May we have the same response as them. That we, like Thomas, when we encounter the risen Lord at this very Mass, may say, my Lord and my God. May we have the faith of the Ulma family to be able to work with God's will in the ordinary, everyday living, and then let that turn into a heroic life that can inspire others. When we encounter this risen Lord, we say to him today, my Lord and my God, you know my fears, but I know your grace. And I know that by your grace, I can conquer those fears and live as a victor over this world.